Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants are on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. During that time, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star, then one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I would like to turn the call over to your host for today, Mr. Steve Lukow. Sir, you may begin.
Yeah, thank you very much, Amy. My name is Steve Lukow, and I'm here with my colleague, Mike Grisey. We're from the IBM Tivoli Product Management and Strategy Group in the storage software area. And we're here today to talk to you about how to compete and win versus HP. Before we get into the subject matter, I'd just like to say that in the U.S., in the United States, we're celebrating Veterans Day today. And I'd like to extend my thanks to any veterans for their service who may be listening to us today and haven't taken the day off. So anyway, today what we'd like to do is focus in on Tivoli storage software in the data protection area and backup and recovery with Tivoli Storage Manager, and we'll also be talking about the storage. Mike will be talking about storage resource management toward the end of the call. We're probably going to spend most of the time today talking about data protection, backup, and recovery, TSM versus HP data, you know, data protector. It seems to be an important area to our IBM sellers and our business partners. So the format of today's information is going to take a look a little bit at the history of what has gone on, you know, in our customers' needs in data protection. And we're going to talk about a little bit about sort of the underlying, you know, reasons how it's evolved. Because I think that's important, you know, when you're looking at the future and helping a customer select who to partner with. It's, you know, it's not just a set of, you know, features that, you know, a customer makes a buying decision on. It's often, if you can put it in the right context, you know, for them to understand, it's about the fundamental architecture of the product. And really, it's not only, you know, when you think of it in terms of compared to or in an analogy that, you know, we use in, you know, information technology a lot of, you know, construction, it's not really just only about the architecture, but it's about the architecture in place of the problem, you know, it's trying to solve. You know, an igloo is a great structure, you know, in the North Pole. It doesn't do you a lot of good, you know, in the tropics. You know, a lean-to in the tropics with palm trees at the top is great there, but doesn't really do you good at the North Pole. So we'll be talking about the context of the evolving needs of the data center, you know, for data protection as a way to help you put this in context for your customers to really show, you know, why Tivoli Storage Manager has held up really, really well. I would say Tivoli Storage Manager has held up so much better than any other backup product out there on the market, you know, including HP, you know, Data Protector, and we'll talk about why. So going to chart two, let's take a look at the high level of HP and how they end up attacking in data protection. But you know, obviously, HP is a, you know, a global brand, you know, very well, you know, respected, you know, for you know, quality, you know, and service, you know, a lot like, you know, IBM, you know, in that regard. HP, they obviously over the past few years have been sort of, I would say, trailing IBM in trying to catch up in being a full scope enterprise, you know, provider, you know, in terms of being able to offer, you know, a full line of IT technology. They often, of course, lead with, you know, servers, since that's been in their product portfolio, you know, the longest. But they also are very proud of, you know, their networking, and they're making an effort to catch up, you know, in storage. They tend to really they serve the enterprise market also, but they do pretty well by focusing on SMB and having a bundled sale where they're really trying to sell the customer, you know, a whole solution, a lot like IBM does, of course. because you know we have that whole solution, including services, and of course HP with their acquisition of EDS a couple of years ago now is you know playing more effectively you know in that game you know as well. In the storage area, you know HP has grown by acquisition. In the storage software area, you know AppIQ, Michael will talk about later. You know how we compete with them. They acquired back in the middle of the decade. And they've done a couple of smaller storage acquisitions, you know, PolyServe, Vibrix, and they've had some success with WAN networks in the iSCSI, you know, SAN appliance market. And I think that has really, you know, emboldened them. And anybody that's been following the trade press recently, you know, has seen the really big news that's happened, you know, this year at the end of the summer in September. And I think it just closed about a month ago. HP acquired 3PAR in bidding that just got, you know, crazy in terms of the amount of money that HP paid. They were, you know, competing, I believe it was with Dell, and they paid an extreme high valuation for that. So, HP had about 11% of the storage market prior to, you know, acquiring 3PAR. And sort of the interesting thing, you know, about that is that while HP, you know, attempts to bundle, you know, the sale of their software with their hardware, so they had, you know, 11% of the hardware market, you know, overall, in you know, data protection and distributed data protection, according to some nationally ranked analysts, HP was coming in at only 5% market share of data protection. So here you get a company that really their whole strategy is all about bringing a whole solution to the customer, you know, servers, networking, and storage. You know, and they're trying to clothe it with the, you know, high profit software, and they've got an 11%, you know, market share in storage, and yet their market share is less than half of that for their flagship, in the flagship area of, you know, traditional backup with HP Data Protector. And, you know, you really got to ask yourself why, and really that's what this call is all about, is trying to explain, you know, that relatively poor performance. You know, because obviously HP has been, you know, successful in bundling a lot of other things, but certainly not their software and certainly not their storage software. And some further evidence of that is the fact of just what's happened, you know, recently. How did HP, you know, get to a, you know, a 5% market share? And by the way, that same analyst firm has Tivoli Storage Manager at over 3.5 times that, you know, market share. So, you know, how did that big disparity happen? Well, a lot of it has happened. Some of it, quite a bit of it, I guess, has happened recently. Just in 2009, that same analyst firm had HP shrinking basically by 11% in 2009. And conversely, IBM with TSM was growing at 11%, you know, during that same year. And I would say, what we're going to talk about in a moment, is there have been some fundamental shifts or recognitions in the marketplace by customers that have really changed their buying patterns to favor TSM over HP Data Protector. It's really just as you know, as simple as that. So the HP corporate messaging, you know, as they sort of bring this whole, you know, bundle to the market of everything, they, of course, a few years ago had the phrase of the adaptive, you know, infrastructure, you know, fluidity of resource, you know, coming to the right place. And as they have, you know, evolved to have this very, you know, large segment of the hardware market because of their purchase basically of Compaq and the fact that they, you know, have need for basically a lot of, you know, material to build, you know, all their systems. They call this the converged, you know, infrastructure. And what they envision is, you know, saving money by, you know, reusing the same, you know, pieces and parts, you know, over and over again, and having this very efficient, you know, supply chain. So, you know, obviously they are consuming, you know, a lot of goods, and they are in a position to do that. Obviously, IBM has an extremely effective supply chain. We've been working that, you know, for a number of years, you know, as well. But HP somehow has sort of latched onto that as a key driver of what they do. And I think, you know, one of the reasons, honestly, is the fact that they did buy 3Com, and they have been, you know, really participating, you know, in the networking market, you know, more than IBM. IBM, of course, has been partnering in wide area networking, and in storage area networking with, you know, Cisco, you know, Brocade and others before Brocade. And now, of course, we have a partnership with Juniper, but they're trying to use that as a little bit of a lever, for what they call their converged infrastructure. And what they have done, when I say that HP is selling the future, what HP, is doing in storage software, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, is HP is trying to use that same converged infrastructure idea to talk about, what they're doing here. In selling the future in storage software management and backup. So going on to chart 3, just a very quick overview of the data protection storage software that HP sells. We're going to be focusing today on TSM versus HP Data Protector. It's their traditional tape and now disk backup product, for the enterprise and the SMB. They've got some other, packaging of it, in terms of, an express product that is upgradable to Data Protector, but they try and make it fairly easy for the customers to enter the marketplace, and they do this because they're reselling tape, and they're doing a job of saying, well, if you're going to buy the tape hardware from us, just buy the very 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 basic ability to take one system and get it copied over to the tape. They also have their Data Protector notebook extension, which is very similar to TSM Fastback for workstations. Then they've got their StorageWorks removable disk backup system, which is described as CDP for a single system or server. As far as we can tell, it's not based on the CDP technology that they had before with Mendocino, but we're not quite sure of where that came from. Of course, they do have recovery management software for flash copy management, for their own storage hardware, which they obviously need to cover. And so I would say sort of their big gap compared to the other vendors of Symantec, IBM, and Commvault, in the area of software data protection is they don't have their own CDP product. They don't have a TSM for Fastback type product of their own. What they do, their StorageWorks storage mirroring software is a OEM of DoubleTape. Of the DoubleTake product. A few years ago, they had OEM'd Mendocino. When Mendocino went out of business, they declined to buy them and get into the CDP space. And earlier this year, DoubleTake was acquired in a hostile takeover and sort of went for dimes on the dollar, I would say, of their current valuation as they ran into some problems with the economy and declining sales. And even though HP was their partner, again, they declined to get into the space. So, one of the strengths of the IBM portfolio is we do have the TSM for Fastback, for the CDP for advanced recovery time and low data loss. We're not going to be focusing on that today, but it's definitely a complementary strategy to offer whenever you're competing with HP. I think we have sort of gotten to the space now where we all recognize in the product management group in IBM Tivoli Storage Software that if a customer is out to buy a backup product like HP Data Protector, CDP is a complementary sale to TSM. It's really not intended, and it hasn't been shown to successfully be able to displace a traditional backup product. And I think a customer sets out to solve a certain problem. They focus on a certain level of a solution, and it's very hard to upsell them. And even if you can't upsell them to the idea of you want to have low data loss and quick recovery, we really believe that you need to have sort of the strength of the traditional backup product, with archive to tape, being able to back up a lot of data to tape, economically, being able to archive securely, with a traditional backup product such as TSM. Okay, so that was a quick overview, sort of their backup software. Now let's really start focusing in on the traditional, you know, backup market, and talk, and we'll get around to talking about TSM versus HPD, the protector. So going on to chart four. All right. So let's talk about HPD, the protector, and let's talk about what it was designed for. Well, it was designed, HP was in cooperation with HDS, who they do a lot of, you know, joint work with. And they got together, and HP said, well, you know, we'll design some backup software, and, you know, we'll work with you on the requirements. And you know, strangely enough, what's happened over the – and HP, you know, made OmniBack basically, you know, out of that, and I guess it was the mid to late 90s there that they did that effort. And, you know, what's one of the reasons that HP hasn't done, you know, that well, you know, in market share is, you know, their original partner in the whole deal, HDS, they don't partner with HP in backup software anymore because HP has fallen so far behind. HDS, you know, basically their big partner there, you know, is Commvault. So a long time ago, the people who helped set the requirements for OmniBack, HPS, or HDS, they said they recognized, you know, wasn't keeping up and had to switch, even though they have a pretty good relationship with HDS otherwise. But anyway, you know, when they're sitting around, they're like a lot of the industry, you know, they were, you know, in backup, they were saying, okay, where are our application systems that we have to protect? Well, they're in the data center. All of them are in the data center. You know, over the land, and this is prior to SAN, so, you know, backup, you know, over the land, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to really optimize for. And what are we going to back up to? Disk is pretty expensive. This is in the, you know, the mid to late 90s. Disk is still very expensive at this point, you know, in terms of, and the price relative of disk to tape. There's a very big difference, probably bigger than there is today. And they said, we need to back up to tape, and we got to optimize for backing up to tape. And what are we going to optimize on in terms of, you know, what we're doing, backup or restore? Well, you know, backup, because we got to get the job done. People are happy. Back then, you know, in the dark ages, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people were happy if you could just back up their data and get them back in business, you know, days later. You know, it's considered a miracle. Obviously, today it's, you know, it's not anymore. But you know, back then that was what you were looking for. And really, HP wasn't really a lot different than a lot of the industry in terms of how they were looking at this. So we're not really saying that HP was looking at these things, you know, with HDS, you know, differently than the rest of the industry. They were looking at it, you know, the same. And they I would say that they were setting out to solve the problem for a very short-term, you know, view of what was going on. And honestly, you know, this is distributed systems at this point are just, you know, going gangbusters. People are evolving away from the mainframe. And, you know, you need a solution for certain things. You got to throw these things up, you know, quickly. Maybe you don't have the time to think, you know, about the longer term and how to make a more flexible architecture. So, you know, all in all, it's not like it was a terrible decision. It just was optimized for then, okay? So let's take a look at chart five and talk about really what's changed over the last 10, 15 years, you know, in the data center and how it affects, you know, traditional, you know, backup, right? So, you know, applications, of course, the systems are no longer, you know, almost all in the data center. There, a lot of them are in remote locations, and these are very important applications that are in their remote locations. And the kind of difficulties that this introduces is you're not backing up over a LAN anymore. You're backing up over a wide area network. And while networking costs, you know, have come down, they certainly have not come down anywhere near you know, storage has come down. So storage has grown a lot, you know, in terms of capacity, and the WANs have grown some but haven't kept up. So, you know, the problem of getting the data backed up, you know, at the remote locations, you know, is problematic. And it's not only in terms of the network costs, but think of, you know, what's come to light. You know, it's hard to – I was going to say it's hard to open a trade press magazine and not see an article about, you know, XYZ, you know, corporation lost the tape with a customer's social security or health information and are being sued by, other companies or individuals or the government is cracking down on them. You don't even have to open up a trade press article about that anymore. You can see that. You always see that in the general press, right? So, you know, security, privacy, have come to really have an important, play there in terms of, the remote locations, okay? In terms of backing up the tape, I think companies now, they don't have the attitude of we're going to back up, just our most important servers. We want to back up everything, and we want to back them up, and we want to back them up with the idea that we don't really need to use the tape that, and we're deciding more and more to back up the disk. And the idea of backup redesign has been going strong now for a couple of years, with really customers not looking at tape as the key media. They're looking at it as an important media for offsite archiving and for lowering the cost of storing, a lot of data, especially in certain industries like oil and gas, where they have a lot of data, but a lot of operational data with their stores, and most restores are of the last version. Most customers are winding down on disk. Okay, so backup performance. While customers just be happy to be back in business in a few days, the restore performance has gotten to be a lot more important. And how you back up, really, really matters. And what a lot of, companies did, and HP was one of them, is, they used tape multiplexing that optimized the ability to back up, a lot of slower devices and keep the tape spinning fast. And tape multiplexing was very successful, in terms of that. And in back in the early 2000s, what you saw was a lot of consultant reports, coming out where, the then Veritas and, the then, Legato with Networker would, fight with each other by assembling these huge, huge Unix systems with these incredibly fast streaming tapes, in these big aggregations, and say, we can back up, so many gigabytes, per hour, to tape, because they're interleaving multiple clients' data and just slamming it all onto tape. Well, that's great, except for when you need to do the restore, it's very problematic. And it's sort of to their credit, what HP does is they not only do the multiplexing, but they provide a function of saying, well, you can demultiplex it in an overhead step. Well, okay, so backup, you need overhead for certain things to clean things up, but the multiplexing, the demultiplexing, to get back to a state where you can restore somewhat reasonably, from tape, is just something that TSM doesn't have to do. So anyway, that's sort of what has changed. We'll talk about the remote locations and how that's evolved as we go on here. So on chart 6, HP responses to changes, the first attempt. And HP, again, they weren't alone in this. They were late compared to other backup vendors, in providing it. But, they've got a legacy architecture of doing, of basically the way that you run backup. In a traditional, legacy setting, like with the HP Data Protector or Internet Backup or what have you, is customers do full backups on weekends. Then during the week, they do incremental backups that sort of, add on top of that. And those periodic backups, you have to size your whole environment to be able to, swallow that whole banana, during the window, that you have, okay? I think, at this point, basically, typically storage managers started being, rather successful in saying, we don't have to do periodic full backups. We have a progressive incremental strategy, or I call it here, I think, incremental forever, that says that we really can back up a file once and never back it up again, you know, unless it changes. And not only can we do that, we can actually do it at the subfile level, introducing that function in the early, you know, 2000 or so time frame. And, you know, our competitors, you know, looked at this and they said, wow, we've got to respond to that. And so they came up with the idea of a synthetic backup. And really, synthetic backups are really nothing more than incremental backups that are basically, they go through an overhead process and just do repeated restores so that they have the latest image to restore to, you know, at that point, okay? All right, the problem with that sort of an architecture is that, you know, you're building a house of cards and you're stacking them up, you know, one at a time. Every time you add that next card, you know, it's got to work. And if it doesn't work, what your house of cards falls down and you've got to go back and do a periodic file backup. Well, the problem with that is that the reason that you wanted to go to synthetic backup is you wanted an even use of resources over time. You never wanted to do a periodic file backup and to try and swallow that whole banana all, you know, all at once, because you didn't want to pay for a whole T1 line out to every remote location, you know, that you had. You know, you wanted to do that with a digital 56K, you know, link, and still be able to do your backup, you know, overnight. Well, if you have to do that periodic file backup, guess what? You've just blown it, and you're not going to be able to accomplish that backup, and you're going to have data exposure, you know, as a result. And that is, you know, is a problem. Okay, so let's go on to chart, you know, 7 and talk and just make the point here on chart 7 that, you know, TSM, we use incremental forever, sometimes called progressive incremental, and we avoid the need to do the synthetic, you know, backups. You know, we basically said that the way that we're going to, when we looked out into the future, we said, you know, we need to be able to use disk and tape, you know, effectively, you know, both of them, you know, in the right context. And in the original architects of TSM rightly saw that the cost of disk, relatively speaking, was going to become more affordable, you know, over time, and that restore times were going to be important, more important, and that customers would demand these faster restore times. And we created an architecture that says we're going to be able to keep track of these files reliably, on a granular basis, and we are not going to have an overhead process, you know, where we have to be able to restore a restore on top of, or a backup on top of a backup, all the time. We're just going to have a database that's so strong that we're able to do it. And so basically for the last 20 years, the architects and programmers in Tivoli Storage Manager have been working on a system that is so strong at tracking each of those files and objects, and has grown that to such a huge scale that we're able to do that extremely effectively, so that we never need to do those periodic full backups, and we don't have to tell the customer, well, it's going to work most of the time, except, you know, and that's what our competitors have to do. They say, well, synthetic works great, but, and maybe they won't even say, you know, what the accepts are. And the next chart, we're gonna, you know, talk about what a couple of those accepts are. Okay. Before I leave this chart, TSM has been improving upon this architecture, you know, for years, in our scalability, most recently, integrating in, you know, DB2. So, you know, we had our own proprietary database before that, because when we started out, there were no distributed databases that were, you know, to our liking. We've been able to convert to DB2, and that's given us, you know, a lot more, you know, scalability to go along, you know, with that. HP has some pretty stringent restrictions on data protector scalability, you know, of their database. It's basically a fraction of what DB2 can do in terms of the amount of objects that it can track. Okay, so chart 8. You know, why are synthetics, you know, ineffective? Okay, so we've already talked. The way that HP does synthetics is they do it in two ways. Okay, they've got regular synthetic backups. And in those synthetic backups, they have to keep, every incremental and then every copy of the new full. so that basically they get copies upon full copies upon full copies, you know, of data. So basically, if they wanted to keep 10 versions, they'd have 10 full copies. That's with their synthetic full. Now, they also have an architecture called their virtual fallback. That's where they're using pointers, you know, to, you know, more effectively, you know, save, you know, some space, you know, so that they don't have to keep an extra full copy of data for every, you know, version, you know, that they back up. What they don't talk about with their virtual file backups is the fact that their space saving is really not that effective when they use small files because they need, you know, a substantial amount of space to use for the pointers that they use to, you know, organize, you know, the data sort of behind the scenes. So, you know, small file environments are, you know, are difficult to deal with for, you know, for all backup vendors, and they don't help HP do their synthetic backups, you know, at all. They're also, you know, limited to the use of a single file what they call a single file library, and that introduces some space, you know, constraints. Okay, and we'll talk about why that's important as we go into the future in a few minutes. Okay, so one of the problems with doing, you know, the virtual file backups or the synthetics is that, you know, when they are essentially doing these what they call object, you know, consolidations, that data is unavailable for restores. Okay? And these object consolidations, it's not just that the data that you're dealing with right then is not available, it's just that any of the data in the whole library, you know, is not available. And so these consolidations can take, you know, substantial amounts of time and be, you know, rather problematic because you've got not only your current copy but all your past copies there. So unless you're keeping a second copy somewhere else and duplicating your backup infrastructure, you know, it's, you know, when you pick up that telephone and you expect dial tone, you know, when you say, I want to restore, you expect to restore. Well, if you're using synthetic backup or virtual full backups with HP, and you're working in the office at 11 o'clock at night, and you just hit the wrong key, you know, on your PowerPoint presentation, and you want your backup copy, guess what? It's not going to happen for you during object consolidation. Other things that it can't do, it doesn't support databases, file system only, no import or export of media, to allow for flexibility in how things are handled and support encryption. And we already talked about the idea that, you know, when you, you know, have that chain or that house of cards and one of them doesn't work, you got to do the whole backup, and that just really blows your, you know, your resource, you know, constraints or your backup window. And basically, you're going to have data exposure problem. Now, most of the time, you're going to be okay because most of the time, people don't need to restore your data. But why do we backup data? We back it up because sometimes we do. So if you're not a very lucky person, it'll bite you, you know? And then obviously there's some – we talked about the impacts on performance. You know, since basically, you know, the object consolidation – the object consolidation at least for gets you to a point where if you want to restore, you know, your latest file, then there's no overhead. But if you have to – restore a file back from that, basically what you have to do is deconstruct that process, and that can take substantial amounts of time too. So, you know, when you go out there and you talk with customers who are using traditional backup from HP and other vendors that have implemented one form of synthetic backup or another, you know, not that many of them are using synthetic backups, and they certainly are crossing their fingers, you know, when they do. So, you know, when you go out and you talk about the real advantages of the space-saving nature, you know, of TSM's incremental, you know, forever in terms of the storage and the bandwidth that it takes, and somebody brings up synthetic backup, you know, hopefully you can recall, you know, a thing here to you know, help the customer really assess, are they feeling lucky? Because that's what it comes down to. You don't have to be lucky with Tivoli Storage Manager. Our progressive incremental scheme works. Synthetic, there's some real performance issues and some risks that and the other vendors that are actually in this space, one of them has a Latin name for speaking plainly and to the point. They'll admit just straight out that, yeah, you can expect to do periodic flaws when you're using synthetics. HP, they're getting a little bit more edgy in marketing, and they don't seem to bring that up. But that architecture, basically, it's inescapable. That's the bottom line. Okay? So going on to chart 10. So the second attempt. So that was back sort of in the the early to the mid-2000s. HP eventually got around to synthetic backup. You know, they were trying to address, huge data volumes and what they were doing. A lot of the industry at this point is really starting to depend on virtual tape libraries, to help them, with performance. And HP OEM Sepeton, and then in 2008 they renewed that agreement. They added deduplication to it, and they positioned this, for the enterprise, market, and they, basically helped to sell it, along with the, Data Protector. They obviously didn't do a great job with that because Data Domain is an independent company, came in to basically, dominate, that market, and there were some issues. The problem, certainly, VTLs, at the host site, which they were implemented, traditionally back then, they saw the idea that, you're cutting down on your data storage, to disk, and with deduplication, you're making it more effective. The problem is, especially, for the remote locations, you're not solving the wide area network, problem, okay? So going on to chart 11, we're sort of contrasting that, which is where, TSM has gotten to with options for deduplication at the client and at the server. The big thing here, at the server, is the fact that when you're doing deduplication, inside, of TSM with commodity disk storage, it's going to be, very cost effective for you relative to any other solution, that is, that is out there that's hardware based deployment using that. Well, I've got an example for you in the next chart. We'll talk about in terms of the price of what those things are. The client side. So the server-side deduplication that we introduced in TSM 6.1 solves the data storage problem. The backup redesign makes it very effective, for customers to say, let's back up to disk. Because we can take out the duplicate data. TSM can do that very cost-effectively for us. We don't need to spend a lot of money on a Sepeton, VTL purchased through HP or a Data Domain, VTL. We can do that natively, in TSM. TSM, of course, with 6.2 solved the other really vexing problem of, remote backups, which said that, we can deduplicate data before we send it over the link, and we're going to deduplicate it not only for the things that we have at a single remote branch office, but all the branch offices that are sharing that single TSM server. We can have a very large, deduplication pool. Based on our very scalable, TSM, database that leverages, the underlying DB2, database of a billion objects supported in it. So, the bigger your deduplication, pool at that central site, sort of like a phone book, right? You just take out all the duplicate, names, and the bigger the city, the more duplicate names you're gonna take out in global deduplication pools based on. Solid technologies like TSM, are exactly that. The other thing that, really TSM, has here is the fact that you've got one infrastructure that you've got to plan, maintain, build, and operate for, backup, traditional backup that is optimized for disk, and remote sites. And HP, can't say that. Yeah, they can sell you VTLs. But you gotta, plan and manage those separately, and they've got no real solution for, remote offices. Their customers are still exposed to high network costs, if they want to back up over the network, and worse yet, if they're still backing up locally to tape and spending a lot of money to have their remote staff manage that process and send the media on a truck and have it exposed to being lost and then storing it, paying for storage and that whole mess. So TSM just has a lot slicker solution as things have evolved. Okay, so. So what has HP done again? So on chart 12, they were in this relationship with Cepton. They said, well, that's great, but we got some long term issues. Do we really want to depend on Cepton? It's this backup redesign to disk seems to have some legs. Do we really want to have the profit margins of an OEM relationship, or do we want to get into the business more ourselves? And so they went out there and said, we're going to have our own line of VTLs, and they started out small, more for the SMB, which sort of actually goes along with what really I think where they envision their core market of as being the SMB rather than the enterprise. So it's really not surprising that they went out and targeted that. And they said, we're going to bring out, these things. And then in 2010, they actually got around to introducing deduplication for their VTL, only about 5 years later than the industry, but hey, they did it, right? You really got to question how strong that store once technology is, because it's not that they can't group these disks into huge back end things and grow. Why are they limiting themselves to having a D2D device with their own native deduplication technology, that has a very small back-end storage capacity of 36 terabytes? Well, I think it just speaks to the fragility, of the technology, inherently, because, obviously other vendors have proven that they can scale the technology to, a lot greater capacities. And HP is starting out, with something very small, right? To do. And when I say that they're selling the future, what they're saying is that we've got the store once deduplication technology they are implementing in this VTL now, and what they're claiming is that they'll get around to implementing that in Data Protector, right? But again, going on to chart 13, when we look at that story and compare it to where TSM is, we're years ahead of having integrated deduplication, in our single backup infrastructure today. So while they're converging their infrastructure, we've converged. We did a long time ago, and not only that, we expanded it out to the remote data center with client-side deduplication. So we've got years lead on them. It's a proven levels of scalability that it's hard to imagine. They started out at 36 terabytes for their maximum VTL with their Star Once technology. It's sort of hard to imagine them growing that real quick. To get anywhere close to the kind of scale that that we've got. So that's HP. That's how they got to that 5% market share, even though they've got double that in disk storage. They haven't been able to leverage that install base. Their converged infrastructure is they have a plant but they're executing on it well behind the industry, being years late with having deduplication compared to everybody else, and they've got a lot to prove in being able to integrate that into their software. It's not to say that, relatively speaking, compared to their competitors, they're doing everything really bad. All their other competitors, of course, except for TSM, because if you look at Commvault, they've certainly had some problems as they've gone down the road. If you look at Symantec VMC, they still don't have a plan even for a converged strategy. So really, it's only Tivoli Storage Manager that has been able to based on its original architectural foundation and what the problems we are trying to solve and looking at in the future, and really investing in having a metadata base that could track all these objects. that has sort of allowed us to, you know, grow into today's, you know, environment and support the weight of what deduplication, you know, requires of an underlying infrastructure. So we've really been out in front of the whole industry. It's not that HP, yeah, they're lagging, you know, behind, you know, the other competitors, but the distance between, you know, them and their other competitors is not nearly as big as the gap between the leadership gap that TSM has established over the whole industry in leading the way in backup redesign with deduplication. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to my partner and colleague, Mike Grisey from Tivoli Storage Management Product Strategy Group, who's going to talk to us about storage resource management and how to compete and win versus HP with TPC. Mike, you there?
Yep, I'm here. Thanks, Steve. We'll take a quick look at how TPC stacks up with HP Storage Essentials. Storage Essentials is HP's storage resource management application. And we take a look at chart 15. As Steve has mentioned before, HP is pretty much a full systems vendor. They've got systems, they've got storage and services and software, very much like IBM. They use similar tactics to sell Storage Essentials as they do their backup and restore software. They try to leverage their very large install base of their storage infrastructure that has been sold, and they really try to leverage their customer loyalty and bundle Storage Essentials with the storage hardware that they sell. They position Essentials as having some strengths compared to TPC, particularly in chargeback, email, and database management. And straight out of the box, that's probably true. Essentials does have a little bit better, more complete chargeback capabilities than TPC does. We have some basic chargeback with TPC out of the package, but we have a lot of integration with other Tivoli products that can lead to a more complete chargeback solution that includes not only storage services, but network bandwidths and servers and, you know, all the other types of IT resources that you'd want to try and put into a chargeback invoice. So, you know, if you're only looking at a storage product for chargeback, then I'd have to say Essentials probably has a little bit of an edge, but that's really not the way most of our larger IT organizations that we deal with as customers really want to do chargeback. They want to try and put everything on a single invoice. So in most situations, that's not as big of an advantage as it might look. They also like to bundle services and build things into operations orchestration. They have some pre-configured workflows. We have similar types of integrations with the rest of the Tivoli portfolio in terms of automated workflows and provisioning. So that's not as much of an advantage as they would like to think either. In fact, a lot of the way that they go about with their integration, particularly even within Storage Essentials, is a lot of individual components that have some back-end integration, but not so much user interface or GUI. And that's one of the things you really want to warn your customers about if they are considering Storage Essentials to manage a large part of their storage infrastructure. Storage Essentials is very difficult to install. It usually involves services and can take several months to get an installation going and working for a heterogeneous storage environment. If all they're worried about is HP storage, then things go a little bit quicker. But if there's anything else in there from IBM or EMC, the customer's going to have to plan on spending an awful lot of time and effort to get the entire infrastructure up and running. Because Storage Essentials came from a lot of different individual components, some of them sourced within HP, some of them bought in as acquisitions, the interface can be pretty difficult to use and hard to navigate. TPC has a clear advantage here. We spent a lot of effort pretty much since the TPC 3.1 days to get everything into the same user interface. The navigation is much better than it used to be. And with 4.2, we've made some improvements even on what we've done previously in being able to move from component to component and get to reports and problem areas quickly within the UI. Another thing to focus on is the advanced storage planning and provisioning that TPC provides that HP just can't match. We have a lot of additional analytic capabilities that are built into TPC Standard Edition that HP just really can't match on a line-item-by-line-item basis. These work very well as long as you instrument all of the components within your SAN appropriately so we can collect data from them. And we've got a lot of good background and track record with these analytics so that we know that they work and that they do provide a lot of value to the customer. Some places where you want to try and block HP is we really don't want them to become a strategic storage vendor and then being able to use those storage platforms to bring along a lot of HP software. Some places that we can make some inroads there, we can look at helping the customer control their capital expenditures by looking at what they have as their current inventory of mid-range disk products and use products like the StoreWise V7000 or SAN Volume Controller as a way to help forestall some additional storage purchases that they might be considering from HP, and then use TPC as management platforms for those devices, the StoreWise and the SVC, as a way to try and get inroads into the account. Once installed, TPC can be used to manage those HP devices, and I think will stack up very well compared to Storage Essentials with the management capability that we have for the HP storage product family. You can also help the customer reduce operating expenses by using TPC combined with TSM to help manage archive capability, get that stale data off of the Tier 1, Tier 2 storage and onto some type of lower cost storage, whether it's a virtual tape library or tape itself. TPC for data can go in and analyze the customer's file systems and look at their utilization patterns and find out what data is stale or orphaned. And we can actually make a list of that and hand it off to TSM and have the archive occur automatically if the customer would like to give that much control to TPC. The other place where we can make some inroads is by reducing the complexity in a mixed vendor storage environment. Even if the customer decides they want to stay with Essentials and maybe use TPC to manage IBM storage and Control Center to deal with any of their EMC storage, there's a lot of intelligence and management that the customer can gain by using things like the Storage Enterprise Resource Planner, or SERP. SERP can actually collect data out of all those individual storage management applications, pull them together into some comparative reports so that you can see where you might be having some problems with any of your storage across the entire enterprise, especially if some of that storage is being shared among applications or server farms. So the Nova CG SERP and services around that is an excellent way to even handle situations where we can't really displace a storage resource management application, but we can get some additional customer value by looking at this type of services engagement. On chart 16, some of the kill points, some things that that HP might be bringing up against a product like TPC. Essentials is requiring a full agent. They still need to put a little bit heavier application, something that needs to be managed a little bit more onto hosts in order to get information out of the file systems. TPC now has moved fully over to the storage resource agents. These are very light. They're driven by the TPC server. There's no a direct interaction that a customer needs to do with the agent and their servers anymore. Agent management is pretty much automated now with TPC. The file system viewer and backup manager has some limited availability within Essentials. They can only really work with Windows and Solaris. They can identify files, but they can't really do anything about them. TPC covers pretty much every current operating system out there with our storage resource agent. We can find that data. We can pass that information on to TSM. TSM can do the archive, and then we can go back and delete that information off of Tier 1 and free up that space. Storage Essentials really doesn't support critical IBM applications, our high availability, and some of our storage software. They don't cover DB2, GPFS, HACMP. Our multipath device drivers, IBM covers all that, plus a lot of our competitive multipathing software. So we have a lot more complete coverage of applications and data pathing. Scalability is a problem with Essentials. Again, the use of full agents, the fact that their interface is a little bit more difficult to use, they can't handle large volumes of things very well. In order to just navigate around things. Running through lists and tables and everything else makes it very hard to find the resources that a customer is actually want to manage. Storage Essentials really doesn't support IBM storage very well. Their enterprise disk support is limited. They don't have the end-to-end automated provisioning that we can do within TPC, and they really have no support for SVC at all. So if there's any SVC or StoreWise V7000 type of devices within a customer organization, TPC is the only tool that will really manage those things well, and that's your opportunity to kind of get an inroad in there, get that foot in the door, and show how TPC can do better at managing that HP storage than Essentials can itself. And finally, Essentials really lacks integration with the rest of the Tivoli portfolio in terms of data center management tools. They tend to focus on the HP software stack, which is understandable, but if the customer has a lot of other Tivoli content within their enterprise, then it's natural to extend that to TPC and talk about how that integration can help them better manage their entire enterprise. Okay. So on chart 17, just kind of a quick summary of the products that play in these particular spaces. From infrastructure management, you got the V7000 and the Sand Volume Controller and TPC. If you're looking at tiered storage management, again, StoreWise, and the Sand Volume Controller are excellent tools for helping customers who are starting to think about tiers and want to implement tiers. There's a lot of automation in there. They can make use of storage products that they already have on their floor and protect some investment by making some things that are probably aging, maybe not quite as performance they're not as quick as they used to be, or there's other alternatives. They can still use those and implement tiers. Lots of end-to-end disk management with the products listed there. If they're interested in data center event and configuration management, Omnibus, TPC, and the configuration management database are some opportunities that you can look at there. So with that, I think we're ready for questions. We're a little bit over time. Hopefully, folks were able to stick with us. So, Amy, why don't we go ahead and open up the lines for some questions?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question from the phone, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your first and last name clearly when prompted. To withdraw the request, you may press star 2. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please.
Okay, while we're waiting for questions, I'd like to remind everybody that if you're looking for competitive information about any of the storage software products that Tivoli has, the Competitive Action Team has a portal on the W3 website that has a lot of competitive information that you can download and take a look at on your own. And if you've got a situation that's a little bit more involved than that, you can also request some assistance from the Competitive Action Team, and they can get involved with your client opportunity on an as-needed basis.
So, Mike, just a reminder that our Tivoli Competitive Action self-service portal is available to the IBM sellers and, of course, the sellers that help our business partners can help them, you know, learn about the information, you know, through that. What we are working on with the people at IBM Comp is to make, you know, a collection of documents, you know, available directly to business partners through the business partner you know, portal. And you'll be seeing, you know, a few of those appear, you know, over, you know, within, I would say, you know, the next quarter or so.
Okay. Do we have any questions, Amy?
Not at this time.
All right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and wind up the call then. I'd like to thank everybody for attending, and we'll see you at the next one.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.